Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention, with your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Topper.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper. We got a great, great show for you tonight. The topic is ADHD, what's obvious about productivity solutions. And with us in our virtual studio is the Linda Walker. We've had Linda on before. Tends to be business and economic related. She's really tapped into this stuff. She's really tied into the Attention Deficit Disorder Association and kind of heads up their worksite initiative in terms of working with employers to get the word out on ADHD. So you know I've got the right guest on the right topic here tonight. Real quickly, tonight is Tuesday, July the 11th in the year 2017 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Some things real quick. We are very thankful, grateful, and appreciative of the support of CHAD, that's Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. Our show is being brought to you tonight by them. We have a little tip that we're going to share for you in a minute. But real quickly, this year, CHAD has joined forces with the Attention Deficit Disorder Association and going to put on an annual professional conference, which is going to be in Atlanta, Georgia, November the 9th to the 11th. I've said it before, I'll say it again, and I'll say it next show, is we are very proud about the content that we have on Attention Talk Radio. We have a lot of great, great speakers, a lot of great content, but there's nothing second to actually going on location at a conference. I've been to ADA conferences, I've been to CHAD conferences, and it's just amazing to me what you learn from the tribe. It's not just what you learn when you're sitting there listening to the breakout sessions, but talking to the speakers when it's over with, hobnobbing with the tribe as they walk out at lunch and everything like that. There's really nothing like it. And if you've got the resources or the means, get to Atlanta, Georgia. You can learn more about the conference by going to chadd.org. And Linda, I haven't actually thought about this. I would presume they can also find out by going to the ADA website at ADD.org, if I'm not mistaken, right? There's stuff there posted, right?
Yes, there is. Yeah, there's even a video.
Oh, that's even there. We go. That's worth the price of admission. So, real quick, let's run our little tip and let's get into the show. Bear with me, so I hit the right button. Here we go.
Are you struggling with managing ADHD, your own or your child's? Connect and recharge at the annual International Conference on ADHD with CHAD and ADA. For more information, go to helpforadhd.org. That's H-E-L-P, the number 4, ADHD.org.
Thank you very much, CHAD, for that tip. Everybody out there, if you're not familiar with CHAD or ADA for that perspective, is you need to be members of both of these organizations. They're both nonprofits that advocate on behalf of those with ADHD. They speak with the voice. They have some amazing member benefits, and certainly you can selfishly go join and become members of them for those reasons, but really you need to support these organizations because they speak with one voice. You can't make one individual difference, but collectively by supporting these organizations, they advocate on your behalf. And so again, you need to really go check that out. So let's get into tonight's show. We have Linda Walker. She's a professional certified ADHD coach and a graduate of the ADD Coach Academy. For our coaches out there, she actually predates me. She was ADCA 12. I was like 16, like back in the dinosaur days. But anyway, she focuses on helping adults overcome the special challenges of attention deficit disorder. She's the author of With Time to Spare, The Ultimate Guide to Peak Performance for Entrepreneurs, Adults with ADHD, and Other Creative Geniuses. She also created the Maximum Productivity Makeover for Creative Geniuses, a training program for adults with ADHD emphasizing a natural approach to conquer procrastination, achieve goals, stay motivated, conquer boredom. That's a big one. You've listened to me before. I've done a bunch of shows on boredom because a lot of people talk about that, and conquering boredom is no simple feat. So I'm definitely a fan of that. She also serves on the board of the Attention Deficit Disorder Association. We've already talked about that in the conference. She's actually presenting at this year's conference. So if you like this, well, even if you don't, you need to go check it out and go listen to her. She's the chair of the ADCA's Workplace Issues Committee. We mentioned that a little bit earlier. And so to learn more, go to her website at CoachLindaWalker.com or FocusToThrive.com. And with all that, Linda, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jeff. So great to be here.
I love to have you on, and everybody out there who's listening to this show knows I like I like to point out how the obvious solutions don't always work. I have this philosophy, if what's obvious is a function of what you pay attention to. But the important part is if the obvious solution isn't working, the chances are you're not paying attention to the right thing. And this show is the show about paying attention to attention. And like the topic says, is we're talking about what's obvious. And specifically, what attracted me to do the show was the conversation about there's so many tips out there from the productivity gurus that are supposed to work, but they don't always work for those with ADHD. You want to just kind of frame this out for us, Linda?
Yeah, they're really meant for neurotypicals. And unfortunately, a lot of ADDers fall in the trap of thinking, it's not working for me. There must be something wrong with me. And really what it is the strategies that are being used. They're just not meant for a creative genius brain.
Yeah, so let's put this in context. It's like you were born left-handed and you're trying to play golf with a right-handed set of golf clubs. And you're just fighting it uphill because you weren't really born that way. But if you use left-handed golf clubs, it'd be a heck of a lot easier. And so often they're trying to stuff like right-handed solutions down the left-handed brain that it can be frustrating. There's an easy way to go. I mean, does that metaphor make sense to you, Linda?
Yeah, that's a great analogy. Yeah, awesome. That's a great analogy.
So talk to us about some of the areas where people have a tendency to focus and you have come to realize it doesn't necessarily work for those with ADHD.
Well, among the top three, because we could be talking about this for days, are the to-do list. The to-do list is one of those challenging areas. Everybody talks about having a to-do list. Unfortunately, with ADHDers, it's a to-do book. And so there are some challenges also involved with that. There's that two-minute rule that David Allen's getting things done became very, very popular. And some of the strategies don't necessarily work for people with attention deficit disorder. And we have to really consider what are those strategies and rework those. And then one of the major ones that I've heard so many times is Brian Tracy's Eat That Frog, you know, doing the most difficult thing first thing in the morning.
Yep.
But you may not necessarily be in the right time, you know, in the right frame of mind at that point. So all of those
Absolutely.
Are among some of the top ones.
Well, let's tackle the first one, the to-do list, where it can be a to-do book. Just talk to me about the nature, because when people say to-do list, there's this saying, but there's to-dos and there's reminders and there's lots of muck that kind of gets in there. So I think one of the issues is really what is a to-do list and what's not a to-do list?
That's a good question. Well, definitely among the to-do lists that we see are some of those things that you want to do that need to be done in the next few days. There's all the things that you've always wanted to do. There's all those things that have been waiting forever. Actually, a really great way to describe that, one of my first clients when I first started, 12, 13 years ago as a coach, came to me with this massive list of several pages, all typewritten, single space, and she's looking at this and saying, like, help me, I don't know what to do when I have free time. And it was really, that's where I got the idea of the to-do, because it was so many tasks, and when we're looking at this, some of these are old tasks from things that needed to be done 5, 6, 7 years ago that really maybe they don't need to be done anymore. Some of them are projects, you know, so you're trying to organize your garage. It's a project. That's not a to-do list. It's not a task. So it gets to be a big, big thing that becomes overwhelming, and it's not reality-based. At all, you know, we don't look at how long it takes, what kind of energy it takes to do it. What are your thoughts about it?
Well, you know, it's interesting because in one sense, you know, I know we've done some interviews with Dr. Barkley in the past about working memory challenges, and sometimes it's like a virtual memory. It's like a brain dump where they're writing all their ideas down. They reference it. And in one sense, a book is that's not a to-do list. It's an idea list that you need to do. And so there's a certain amount of like, hey, these are all the ideas that I have out there, but how do I kind of filter that down? That's number one. The other thing, too, that's interesting is that task that you talk about or the project that you have to do about, which is kind of funny to me because sometimes you'll have a project that you have to do or a task, and sometimes it's like that's the outcome that you want, but there's a lot of learning that kind of go along the way. So it ends up just becomes this massive hodgepodge of just stuff that I think people get overwhelmed with, and they don't really know what to do with it. And the to-do list sounds so simple, but at the end of the day, it can be really overwhelming until you kind of break it down and say, what's kind of going on here? So Linda, when you are dealing with some people, you have any stories of some situation where you worked with some people to try to kind of ferret through this so they could kind of make some sense of things?
Okay. Well, one of the challenges that I often see, and we didn't mention it in what we discussed here, is the tendency to use psychological payoffs on short tasks. So we do all the things that take no time to do, and then we're happy, I've had a very productive day. Or you do a whole lot of things, and it never, you know, you never feel as though you've accomplished anything because the list is just growing and growing. So some of the lists that I saw, like my client or this other person who came in with 13 tasks, one of which was to paint
yep.
a wall, and she had about 3 hours to go because she was meeting me for an hour, came here,
yep.
came to my office, and so on. And what we ended up looking at was the fact that it's not a realistic approach to you really do have to go a little bit further. So I love the idea of the brain dump. Don't get me wrong about that.
Yep.
You were talking about the brain dump. I think it's a good place
yep.
to go. But at some point, you need to look at maybe taking on a more big picture view of what you have to do. Because a challenge also is that you'll do either the most urgent thing and other things are going on that you're not necessarily taking
yep.
care of that need to be taken care of, or you're getting that psychological payoff of doing just the task that takes 2 minutes, and then you've done 10 of them and you say, oh, I've had a great productive day, when really the critical work, the critical things that are important to your work or your business or your life have not yet been tackled, and then you feel totally overwhelmed. So
Among the what? Finish your thought.
Yeah. Along the way, the solution tends to be to look at, the ADD brain is, the tendency for most ADHDers is to be big picture thinkers. And if you craft your approach with a more big picture view, looking maybe at projects. So your brain dump is a good place to start, but you want to then park those different tasks
yep.
in the different projects instead of keeping them on a massive list, and
yep.
then determine which projects are really priority before you get started. And that allows you to already prioritize something that's a very big challenge for most people with attention deficit disorder. So if you're prioritizing projects and you're looking at projects by, the critical projects first, you park the projects that are really not critical, then you've got one less thing to do. You've already filtered some of the less important stuff that needs to be taken
yeah.
care of.
It's funny because you said something a couple seconds ago that really kind of hit me. And forgive me here. You said a realistic approach. And I was just sitting there and I was like listening to it. And all of a sudden it kind of came to me. We did a show last October, I think it was, called All Roads Lead to Mindfulness. And, Linda, it was kind of funny because in that show we were so many shows that we do end up going back to, you got to pause and you got to back up and you got to think about what you're doing as opposed to just automatically reacting. And that notion of you've got this book or you've got this thing and kind of back up and saying, hey, is this realistic from what are you doing to like even a time management? Like I've got all this stuff, but realistically I can only get 5 things done. So what am I going to do? But that automatic just jump to that to-do list, I don't think necessarily works. You got to be able to pause, you got to stop, and you got to think about how does this all fit into the bigger picture, and do some type of executive functioning to whittle that stuff down. And there is a challenge for those with ADHD. So this one size fits all, just do a to-do list, I can see really breaks down in this environment because filtering through that and organizing can be really difficult.
Absolutely.
Thoughts on that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh no, I totally agree. For one thing, as you mentioned, your list is incredibly long, but you're not really taking care of the things that are massively important. You've got all kinds of hodgepodge of stuff on there. Your bucket list, projects, agenda stuff, things that are routines, and ideally, you want to create a system that works for you that takes care of everything. I feel 100% of the time.
Yep. No, it's kind of funny because I need to go to break here in a little bit, but you know, one thing that's interesting to me is how many people that I coach, Linda, that when they have that, the best thing for them to do is talk out loud with somebody, which is, it's not a be all end all, but many people just by talking about what's on that list gives them that pause, if you will, and they actually say out loud what they're doing. And sometimes that acknowledging it, actually they'll go, well, I guess that's really kind of not realistic. And I find often sometimes they'll talk their way through as a way to whittle this thing down to something a little more realistic.
Absolutely.
Need to go to break real quick. Linda, you've got a free, I guess, program on your website. Can you tell us about it and let our listeners know how they can find it?
Yeah, it's the top 10 productivity myths, and they're busted. So we're really talking about those gurus, what the gurus are telling you that are wrong, and we offer solutions as to what would be a better approach for someone with attention deficit disorder. And you can find it at productivitymythsbusted.com. If you don't know how to spell that, you can go on my website at coachlindawalker.com, and at the top right, you can sign up from there. So it's a relatively easy one to solve.
Now, if you're an ADHD person, you can realize how brilliant this woman is, because I know that if I didn't know how to spell it and she was going to give it to me, I'm not going to remember it. But she gives you something simple to go to the website and say it's really right there. I like that's brilliant. So touche. Go check out her website. We'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by digcoaching.com. The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back here. Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Linda Walker, and what's obvious about productivity solutions by the gurus when it comes to ADHD is they don't always work. And before the top of the show, we were kind of talking about to-do lists. But I want to kind of shift the gears right now because that two-minute rule out there, I've heard of that, Linda, and that one just kind of cracks me up a little bit. Can you describe what the two-minute rule is? Can you share what your take is on it? And then I can jump on that bandwagon.
Absolutely. So the two-minute rule by David Allen's Getting Things Done is if you're doing something and whatever it is that comes to you, there's a task or somebody interrupts you and it's only going to take 2 minutes, stop what you're doing and take on that task because it'll take less time than it really would to do anything else with it. The major challenge with that is, first of all, will it really take 2 minutes? ADHDers are very poor estimators of time. It's very challenging for you to estimate time. So that is not necessarily a great approach. Prioritization becomes a problem as well because you may be working on something that's critical and every single distraction and interruption that comes your way may be trivial stuff that's really not all that important. It doesn't really have a major impact on your life or on your business. There's also that transition. You know, the transition, every
yep.
time you stop a task and then you move on to a task, even if it's 2 minutes, that will not take 2 minutes. It will take you the transition to the task and the transition from the task back to hopefully the task you were starting, you were working on in the first place when you got interrupted.
Absolutely.
So
Yeah. So I'm gonna have some fun with this. So Linda, right now I want you to remember the word popsicle for me for just a second, okay? Now, with that being said, I want to do an attention exercise with you real quick. I'm going to give you five words, and I'm going to say them slowly. I do not want you to repeat them. If you feel the urge to repeat the word after I say it, please don't. And I want you to tell me the words back to me in alphabetical order. You okay with that?
Yes. You're asking me for a lot now. Yes.
I know. Just bear with me here. Okay. So the words are teacher, bumblebee, kangaroo, hippopotamus, zebra.
Okay. So, hippopotamus, kangaroo. I forgot one. I know there's teacher in there and there's zebra, but
got it. And so, what was the word I asked you to remember?
I'm thinking popsicle because normally I wouldn't.
Yeah, so here the reason I did that is because I wanted to simulate really what's going on. I do this exercise a lot with people with those five words because when I tell you those five words, there's nothing new. You have them, and what you have to do is you actually have to remember those five words, and then you have to think about them and reorder them and give them back to me in alphabetical order. And I do this with people because it's only five simple words, but most people with ADHD struggle, and even those they don't struggle with it. And what I try to illustrate is that's actually working memory, where you're holding those things in your mind and you're trying to reorder them. Now, when you said this, I was hoping I was going to get it because I said remember the word popsicle because that's the thing that you were doing before the 2 minute deal. So when somebody calls you off of that and they give you these things and you're having to juggle that stuff in your mind, your working memory is being taxed. And what happens is things begin to fall out. So that word popsicle that I said in the beginning, and if you were listening to me, I know I got somebody out there listening to that. I know you forgot the word popsicle. I just know it's out there. Even though Linda figured it out. But the point really is that's working memory. And that's why the 2 minute drill doesn't work, because those with ADHD have a taxed working memory. And if you stop for just something as 30 seconds or 2 minutes, whatever the hell you were thinking about before you got distracted evaporated. And then you got to start over. You have to reload those five words back in your head and try to figure that stuff out. And to me, that's why I love this. It sounds so simple to everybody else, but taxing the working memory, and that's an issue with ADHD, and that's why it's obvious to everybody else, but it makes no sense for those with ADHD. So anyway.
No, totally right. And I don't have ADHD, by the way, so that helps a little bit.
Imagine if you did. So I just think that's a great example because it's that thing. And if you just take that rule and you live by it, I think you're going to suffer a lot. You might get it right every once in a while, but that's a perfect example of how the obvious solution out there doesn't necessarily work for everybody
else.
I'm going to kind of split this up. I want to touch base on the eat the frog. Let's talk about – key that up and let's go to a break and let's come back and talk about the practical ramifications of that. So when they say eat the frog first, what does that mean?
Basically is, you know, when you start your day, start with the most difficult task first thing in the morning, and everything else will seem like very, very simple for the rest of the day. But really start with the hardest task.
The hardest task first.
The most challenging,
Suffer first. Maybe not. Wait. Well, actually, I'm going to hold my comments to that. Linda, can you share your website and your little giveaway, and we'll go to break, and we'll come back, and we'll jump into that.
Yeah, it's Coach Linda Walker. By the way, Linda is with an I, coachlindawalker.com. When you go on my website, at the top right, you'll find the top 10 productivity myths. You can sign up for that for free, and you'll receive emails for a few days with some solutions. First, the productivity issues for ADHDers and how to overcome them.
All right. Everybody, go check it out on our website. With that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back. We're here with the Linda Walker, having a spirited conversation about what's obvious about productivity. And Linda, I have to give it to you. One of my favorite things about these shows is a lot of times they're improv, they're in the moment. And I always like to go with the conversation because all times aha will shoot out. And that little popsicle thing we just did, that just occurred to me in the moment. And I refined it during the break. In the future, what I'm going to do is give somebody like a little bit of a math problem and say, but before you solve that, let me go do this other exercise and come back and see if they can do it. Because in the workplace, so often you're working on a task and you get interrupted and it's I know I can get everybody on that one. So thank you very much for that opportunity. So let's go back to eating a frog.
Yep.
I find this one really comical on so many levels. You know, as an athlete, Linda, I don't know about you, but if I jumped in and did – like if I sprinted out of the blocks, I'm going to hurt myself. I need to kind of warm up into that a little bit. And that's like I got to dive. I got to stretch. As a swimmer, I'd jump in, I would warm up a little bit, I would build up a little bit until I was really ready to do my best work because I had to like get my body and stuff ready. And I know for me, nothing's happened until Jeff gets through his first cup of coffee. So this notion of doing the hard stuff first, it's comical to me. But I don't want to steal your thunder. Share your thoughts on this, please.
Yeah, and I feel the same way. First of all, it assumes that you're able to take on a challenging task like that first thing in the morning. Some people do. There are some people who bounce out of bed. They're the, you know, they tend to be a little bit, maybe a bit more hyperactive, combined version of ADHD or hyperactive, impulsive.
Yep.
But they still, you know, they still also have to warm up to it. But many ADHDers get up in the morning and they're not bright-eyed and bushy-tailed yet. You know, as you mentioned, they don't.
Yep.
They need their coffee. They need to get started. And starting with the hardest thing, if you're told that that's what you need to do, that could actually paralyze you all throughout your day because you're thinking, I should be able. And that word "should" comes up. It paralyzes you completely because you just can't go on until you finish that one task. When really the best approach is a little bit like you mentioned, you know, warm up to it, get yourself, build momentum is another approach that you could use. So you start with a task that's a little bit easier, that's more fun, that you find enjoyable to turn on the brain because the brain's not always on first thing in the morning.
Yep.
And then you jump onto that more challenging task. The other thing that comes up for me is that, you know, if we look at a day, and whether you have ADHD or not, in a day, a person is not able to focus fully all the time. We do not focus I'm a neurotypical, but I do not focus 16
yep.
hours a day. And ADHDers definitely don't either. So if you're trying a task that requires a lot of focus, but you're not able to do that right now, you're making yourself more exhausted even because you're forcing your brain to do something it's not ready for. So tell me a little bit about your thoughts about it other than
it's funny because I'm listening to this and I'm like, you know, Linda, I might be wrong, but have you ever woken up and you sat down and you've got to come up with like a marketing piece or like this thing that everybody's going to like, you've got to appeal to them in like four words or less. And it's got to be this profound insight. And you're sitting there and you're looking at it going, all right, it just ain't coming to me right now. I mean, it's hard because each word is so careful and you're like running simulations in your mind like, will I get it the way I want to, blah, blah, blah. And you're sitting there and it's really, really hard. And that's creativity to me. It's not like I can like, okay, I'm going to give birth to the most amazing aha tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock in the morning and plan for it. Just doesn't happen that way. Because unfortunately, that idea comes to me when I'm in the shower or like I'm on a bike ride. And I'm like, holy crap, where am I going to write this thing down? Because if not, I'm going to forget like Zebra in my working memory and have forever gotten it. And so it's comical to me because to do that, particularly when it's creativity, particularly when it requires insight and all that kind of stuff, it's really hard. The other thing, too, is the hard stuff sometimes is if you're not clear about something, if you're not really sure what to do, if I sit and brood on it all day, I'm just feeling the pressure of everything else that I didn't get done because I'm forcing myself to do something that maybe I'm not really ready to do yet or I don't have all the information, but I'm like, I got to do the hard thing first, and I haven't even acknowledged that the reason it's hard is I don't really know what to do. And that one size fits all, just find the hardest thing and focus on it. I think a lot of times you're paying attention to the wrong thing. And I think it's oppressive for those with ADHD because they sit there and they do this mantra. And then before you know it, there's this huge guilt trip. Like, I'm not doing this. All day I sat, tried to do the whole thing. All I got to show for it's like two sentences or one word in this phrase that just not coming to me today. Then, like I said, 2 weeks later, you're walking out of the shower and whammo, and you're like, whoa, that happened. So anyway, I'm on a little bit of a soapbox right here, but you guys can tell out there that this is a big one of mine, is that you can't force this when it happens.
You just can't.
And
I
think
what works for you as well. You know, you really do need to – each person is unique and needs to – and that's one of the things I do with my clients is I help them first identify, you know, how do you work? You know, how do you work best? What are the best factors? What are the best conditions that will improve your brain's ability? As an athlete yourself, you're training, you're not swimming 100 laps is the first time you start. You know, you start small, you start with stretches and so on. It's the same with your brain. You need to put in place the right conditions to give your brain the best chances of being able to focus and to be creative and so on. But also you need to consider there are times in your day when you're likely not able to focus, other times when you can focus so incredibly well. I've got clients who tell me, you know, when I realize how, you know, the periods when I focus, and it tends to be in a pattern, especially if you're very good with taking care of those factors, you could focus like a laser and you can be incredibly productive, but you have to know when that happens and you have to know what conditions or what factors you need to put in place, like taking care of your brain through exercise and sleep and good nutrition and so on. So,
everybody, totally agree. If you're listening to this, you need to rewind the tape and re-listen to what she just said a couple times. I want to point a few things out here, and Linda, this is just my perspective, so I'd be interested in yours. So much of the outcome that you're looking for when you have ADHD is managing the environment to manage your brain, not manage your brain around the environment. And what I mean by that is, I've coached people before that, like, there's certain tasks that are hard that might require focus and some creativity. And the best thing for them to do is to go exercise, grab a cup of coffee, and grab their meds. We've done some interviews with Dr. John Rady on the best you're going to think if you have ADHD is after a rigorous workout. Then you take your meds and you sit down and you're distraction free. And you're sitting there and you have resources. Like for me, when I'm trying to really be creative, I have a couple friends and I'll call them up and I'll just, blah, 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 I got to hang up. I got an idea. And I just go, because I need that ability to outlet, to go talk and or have them spark an idea when I'm really trying to do something hard, because I know I'm trying to unearth some creativity. And I manipulate my environment and schedule that to happen, because that is the environmental factors that are the highest probability of getting my brain where I want it to be at that point. Doesn't mean that I'm going to get what I want, but it increases the probability of it. But I'm managing my environment to manage that thought process, if that makes some sense. And at the same time,
totally.
I can tell you there's certain times of day where I'm like, I ain't thinking at that point in time of day. It's just nothing but rote, boring tasks where I can mindlessly kind of go through it because I'm brain dead, and that's when I can get the boring stuff done. But it's all about managing the environment to manage my thoughts. And I think that this just eat the frog in the morning is missing the point. Environmentally, you got to think about what's going on. So with all that being said, you want to comment on that?
No, I agree with that. I think it's a marriage of both things. You do have to honor your brain. You do have to honor who your unique capabilities and so on, and your new unique way of functioning, and manage your environment. You know, even in terms of distractions, most people with ADHD do not give themselves permission to tell somebody, right now is not a good time. I'm in the zone, you know.
Yep.
And they'll allow people to disturb them or to interrupt them. They'll allow all kinds of things to happen that really don't help them. And you're totally right. When you are tired, you need to do something that will give you energy, not sap more of it. Because when you sap all your energy working when you're brain dead, as you called it, you're not going to recuperate. And the time that you work, for example, if you're working 9 to 5, you want to have a life outside of that as well. So if you take care of your brain during work, when you're even when you're tired, you do a task that's less difficult, that's more maybe more rote, more routine, or you take a break by I call managing by walking about. So you go from you go and see your colleagues to
yep.
get their ideas instead of writing emails and so on. You're a lot more likely to bounce back from that and actually have a life outside of work. So
we're just two knucklehead coaches out there, everybody, who just, I mean, coaches this thing. But it's kind of funny because I cannot help but just bring all this stuff back to what I learned with Dr. Barclay several years ago in an interview. He said, think of your brain as a two-level system. You have the automatic brain. That's the habits. That's the thing like Obie North, your more dominant hand. It's those things that you don't think about. Then you have your executive functioning brain. That's that. It's very effortful because it's got to step in and it's got to override the automatic brain. That's where that pause is that we talk about so much in coaching. That's the – you got to back up and say, is this realistic? And it takes energy and it takes effort. And Dr. Barclay has a great analogy. He's like, just think that you're a fuel tank if you have ADHD for that executive function, that heavy thinking. You only have half the fuel of everybody else. And when that fuel's gone, you're toast for the – you're not getting anything done until you go do that. So number one, you got to be really efficient at what you're doing. And when you're going to – where you're going to step on that gas and really, you know, consume that, it needs to be kind of focused and kind of what's going on. But when it's not there, you got to go refuel that fuel tank, because if you just sit there and try, it's hard. And manage, just metaphorically, what she's describing is, I'm just relating it back to the bright guy's theories in terms of what's going on. This stuff all kind of fits together like a glove, and you have to be mindful of it. And the better that you can do and just not read these things and say, I got to be like Mike and force yourself to do it, the more you're like, wait a second, my brain doesn't work like that. And do it, as I say, your way. Be yourself, accomplish that way. And Linda has said a lot of things about self-observation. Know how you work. Know what's going on. Be aware of the environmental stuff and don't get bound by these things. And so I don't mean to go on, but, you know, Linda, you just said so many brilliant things in this. I just had to, like, say, just everybody go back and listen to what she said.
Yeah, and so did you. I like the way you said you split that up into habits and routines and the executive function, because it's true, you know, those periods when you're able to focus, you know, you want to tap into your executive function. But you know, routines and habits tend to be those things that a lot of ADDers are almost allergic to. They think it's their public enemy number one, but really it's their savior in to a certain degree, because when your brain is getting tired, you know, falling into a routine does not tax your executive functions. It allows you to continue to do progress without necessarily.
Yep.
Undermining your brain's capacity or your brain's need for rejuvenation and calm.
Yeah, not to prolong, it's very fun, but, you know, I've coached a lot of, like, traveling people, like executives that kind of travel, and it's funny because as I work with them, not everybody, but the ones that are there, like, you need to live out of your toiletry bag both on the road and at home. And the reason for that is when you have two different systems, you have to – when you're on the road, you have to stop and think, where the hell is the toothpaste? And that – might sound trivial, really small, but you still, it takes up some of that gas. Whereas you'd be surprised if you have the same thing, you actually don't think about it. Most people, when they get in the morning, a lot of times they're actually thinking about their day. They're actually kind of playing, they don't realize that they're doing, but it's kind of going on. But you have to stop and think, I got to pack and do that. It's very disruptive. And that's why that transition of moving back and forth is you're losing your stuff. And so the more that you can make habit, the less you have to rely on using that executive function to think about where the hell's my toothpaste. And it enables you to engage it in some other places. So everybody, we're just coaches. We're just the application of it. But there's a lot of stuff that we can explain by what the theorists are really kind of saying. So, Linda, is there anything with going to your website? And I want you to explain how they can find that, because there's like a whole bunch, just like seven other things that we haven't talked about that are on there that are there. But in terms of what we have, any other like last little nuggets or things that you want to share before we wrap this up?
Well, the number one, of course, is the idea that there is training out there. You don't have to do it on your own. Get the help that you need. Understand that it always starts with self-awareness, as you mentioned before. Self-awareness is key to being able to manage your ADHD, and so that's an approach. I have a few programs. I know you have programs that can help a lot of people with attention deficit disorder on a number of different things, including these types of things. So if you're not sure how to manage, get some help. You deserve to get the help and invest in your own future.
It really makes a lot of sense. I always loved that. I think it was Hollowell said, you know, the thing about ADHD is it's if you get the proper diagnosis and you get help, there's a lot of hope. I mean, you can do a lot with this. I mean, it's not, but you have to get the proper diagnosis. You got to get the proper help, and you can live a very, very, very fulfilling life. There's no reason why you can't. The thing about, like, as Rick Green says, is, you know, I'm anti-suffering, like just doing it the hard way. There's no reason to do that stuff. And I love these shows that I like. What's obvious about the obvious solutions, they don't necessarily work because they don't fit your brain. So stop suffering, get some help, fit this on some sides. You know, go get some help so that you can live a fulfilling life. So with that, Linda, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. It was awesome.
Can you share with everybody really quick your little program on the website? We'll wrap it up.
Yep. The program is the top 10 productivity myths busted.com. Or if you don't want to look for it and you don't know how to spell myths, go to coachlindawalker.com, and at the top right you'll find the free course on how to manage the top 10 productivity myths and how to overcome them. What's a better way or less more AD friendly way.
And that's perfect for me because I can spell Linda and coach and all that kind of stuff and find that website. That other stuff would Linda, I have to actually write down those five words and remember them so I can do the test every time because my working memory can't handle it. So anyway, thanks again, everybody. We hope you enjoyed tonight. Catch us next week. Another edition of Great Attention Talk Radio. Take care.